Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sheila Shoiga, and this is Ready to Be Real Conversations, the podcast series where I chat to people of all walks of life. Some names you'll recognise, others you might not, but my hope is that these conversations will at times inspire, challenge, educate, comfort, or simply entertain you. This week, I speak to historian and artist Shelley Mooney.
Women are finding it to be a very empowering time in Ireland at the moment. You know, we're it's our moment, and it's just great that Bridget is here to represent that and and embody that, I suppose. But you know, Bridget's history is incredible. So, as you know, you probably know yourself, she's kind of two people. So we have this ancient goddess Bridget, who our pre-Christian ancestors would have worshipped, and she's part of our mythology and like that whole like the old pagan like ritualistic kind of thing that I suppose we were sort of encouraged to forget in centuries gone by.
Yeah.
But there's a great remembrance going on now.
Shelley lives in Wexford, is mum to baby Ferdia, and she runs the brilliant Instagram page Tales from the Wood, which explores the history and mythology of Ireland. And in this conversation, she talks about the Celtic festival of Imbolc and the significance of Bridget and her resurgence in recent times. Here it is.
I've grown up absolutely loving Ireland's history, our mythology, and the whole landscape and folklore that goes along with it. So I've kind of followed that passion, and after studying history in UCD, decided about a decade later that I would start this Instagram page called Tales from the Wood, where I basically illustrate figures from Irish mythology, and I just talk about our history and our ancient megaliths and all these amazing sites that we have around the country. And it's doing really well. There's nearly 80,000 followers on there, so I'm absolutely loving it.
So I am one of your biggest fans. I think your Instagram page is gorgeous. So I'm delighted to, I'm not surprised actually that you're growing followers all the time. So Tales from the Wood. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
There seems to be a bit of debate about when spring starts. Mm.
If you look around outside around the 1st of February, you'll see the little snowdrops are coming up. I mean, the climate is changing anyway, so there are actually daffodils popping up now at my house randomly, but definitely you can see signs of life everywhere. All the little birds are starting to come out, and the leaves, you can see the little buds ready to burst open, and there's just a change in the air, I think, around the 1st of February. And I know like that obviously will build and increase as we go into March, and we'll have the spring equinox and everything, but Imbolc is just such a gorgeous time. You can really feel the fire coming into the earth and just things coming back to life. It's fabulous. I am a big believer in the 1st of February being the start of spring.
And even the word, because it's kind of a funny one, Imbolc.
Yes.
What is that about? But I remember reading about it. Is it based on the Irish Imawolog?
Yes, exactly. So the 1st of February, I mean, the ancient Celtic pagan calendar was called Imbolc or Imbolc. And it does exactly as you said, it comes from that word Imawolog. So what that is actually talking about is all the sheep that are pregnant at the moment, and they have the little baby lambs in their bellies. What it means is in the belly. So it's literally talking about lambing season is about to start. The agricultural calendar is about to shift into springtime mode. So you'll have the spring sowing, the lambs, it's all going to kick off. And that's what Imbolc is about. It's kind of, if you think of the Celtic calendar as like an agricultural calendar, is nearly the best way of thinking about it. And Imbolc is that first fire festival that will start off, you know, the new life and the fertility of spring and summer on the way.
And instantly that makes, well, it makes me feel happy.
Yeah.
Because I mean, as much as I love, and I do, I genuinely do love winter. Mm-hmm. It's time to curl up and be cozy and hibernate and retreat and all of that. But it's also when spring returns, it is an opportunity to kind of step out again.
and yeah. explore, and what it's about, what it signifies, what exactly. it symbolizes is lovely.
Yeah.
So strongly associated with Imbolc is obviously Bridget.
Yes.
And I am so excited that you're here to talk about her, because there has been, I really feel, like a resurgence in...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and people talking about Bridget, and
she's
goddess,
having a renaissance
isn't
at the
she?
Moment, yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah, I know. Like, literally centuries overdue.
Yes,
yes.
Correct.
So, like, we've had St. Patrick's Day in March for so long now, and that's, I think, so much associated with Ireland and all over the world. People think of St. Patrick's Day and everything, but people often forget that we do have this other patron saint, a patroness, I suppose, who is Bridget. And as you said, like, she's having this renaissance at the moment, and after this long campaign that so many of us were saying she needs the same recognition as Patrick, finally it's arrived, and we have this new public holiday to celebrate Bridget. And I just think it is just amazing, and it's so forward looking while also bearing the past in mind, you know.
Yeah.
That she's just this amazing amalgamation of our past, our present and our future, and just looking forward while also looking back. And it's so inclusive of our history as a whole, in a way that, as much as I love Patrick and his own history, she's so inclusive of our whole time on this island. Women are finding it to be a very empowering time in Ireland at the moment. You know, we're it's our moment, and it's just great that Bridget is here to represent that and yeah. and embody that, I suppose. But, you know, Bridget's history is incredible. So, as you know, you probably know yourself, she's kind of two people. So we have this ancient goddess, Bridget, who our pre-Christian ancestors would have worshipped. And she's part of our mythology and, like, that whole, like, the old pagan, like, ritualistic kind of thing that I suppose we were sort of encouraged to forget in centuries gone by.
Yeah.
But there's a great remembrance going on now. And so Bridget, I suppose, like, in the mythology, we know that she is the daughter of Andagda, is what he's called. And this is, like, this prolific father figure of the Tuatha De Danann. So in our mythology, basically, it's this whole list of invasions, and they happened one after the other, and we had all these different races that lived on the island before eventually we got here. And the Tuatha De Danann are part of that lineup. So they actually were, they lived on this island before we did. And what they are is this, like, supernatural divine race of these powerful gods and goddesses. And you might be familiar with some of them, you know, Cliona.
Cliona, yeah.
You're Cliona. We have, like, Lula Fada. There's endless different figures that pop up. But Bridget was the daughter of this king figure of the Tuatha De Danann, so Andagda. So we know that she was an important figure in herself. Not much is known about who her mother is. Some people will kind of speculate and say it could be Danu, who is actually where the Tuatha De Danann get their name. So they are the followers, or the tribe, of the goddess Danu. And with the kind of mist over where her origins are, some people speculate that it could have been Danu, which would just lend into this power that she has, you know, this incredible background that she has that leads up to her own embodiment of power and fire and water and, like, the elements, earth. She's a fertility goddess. She's creativity, poets, artists, you know, she just embodies that whole aspect of culture on this land. And as well, going into the kind of maternal aspect of her, which is really, you know, what her main representation would be. One of the stories about her would be that in this great battle that took place years ago, called the Second Battle of Moytura, which was basically when the Tuatha De Danann and the Fomorians were, you know, contending for a dominion over Ireland, or, you know, whatever they were arguing about.
Yeah.
She had a son called Rudon, who was struck down in battle. So it's said that Bridget went out onto the battlefield and she held Rudon in her arms and she was crying and wailing. And this was the very first example of keening in Ireland.
Yes.
So, you know, that's that, like, wail.
Yeah, queena.
And it's this, like, you know, wail for the dead, but it encompasses this, like, fierce maternity that she has. And you could say that that's maybe representative of the whole island, this figure that you know, represents fertility and the bringing of new life. So that was the goddess Bridget. And we know that she was super important to people on this island, because when Christianity came along, so in around the 5th century, they brought her with them. So,
yeah.
You know, I suppose they did and they didn't, in a way. So we had this goddess figure, Bridget, and her day was around the 1st of February. But in the meantime, once Christianity arrived, we had this little nun, Bridget as well, Bridget of Kildare. And she has her own, I would call it a mythology as well, you know, the legends of St. Bridget. And she's an incredible woman as well. You know, she was born to a chieftain. So another, like, you know, powerful father figure in her life. But he actually had her with a slave woman. So his wife didn't like the thought of Bridget being around, so she was kind of sent off to grow up as a slave, basically. And it's her holiness could be seen from her childhood. You know, there's loads of stories about it. She would give away all her father's possessions to the poor and to those who needed it. There was one story where she gave away her mother's entire store of butter to people who needed it. And then, of course, there was the miracle that she prayed and the stock was restored and the butter came back and all the rest of it. But what's apparent with Bridget of Kildare, the nun Bridget, is just this empathy that she has for the needy and for the marginalised. And that's beautiful as well. Mm. You know, it's just stunning. And, you know, there's so many miracles. So she went on and she got her freedom and she went on to found schools. So she was tied in with education. She founded churches and monasteries and she performed many miracles as well. And I think there's a lot of like sort of pagany aspects that are still very apparent to me anyway in a lot of the stories of St. Bridget. So even the story of her cloak, you know, the cloak that she went to speak to the King of Leinster about getting land for her monastery that she wanted to build. And he kind of was making fun of her and just having a little bit of a go at her. And he said, well, whatever your cloak covers, you know, you can have that. So she took the cloak off her back and laid it on the ground. And out of nowhere, it just grew for acres and acres and acres and covered all this land. And he couldn't believe it. He was shocked. She got more than enough land for her, whatever she was doing with it. But I can see in that aspect of like this amazing woman's cloak covering the ground and like almost the embrace of her cloak and the warmth and, you know, the motherly aspect of that as well. And I think that reaches back further into, I can see anyway, definitely there are elements that have been brought and mixed up and swirled around to get this like amazing picture of this woman who we celebrate today.
So to understand Bridget is do you feel that embracing the goddess along with, you know, the saint is the way to do it, as in that they're not separate, that you can actually embrace both and see the beauty of both?
I definitely think so. I definitely think so. That I think the way that I like to think of it is that it's almost like a handshake between the past and the present here in Ireland, that we didn't forget the old stories. They're there and we know that she's a land goddess and, you know, she's so intrinsic to the people who live on this island and the land and everything that grows and lives on it. But then also, you know, she embodies, because we have a long history of Christianity on this island as well. And I'd hate to think that in our efforts to distance ourselves from the church now, we forget that all these people lived and loved for so many centuries with that in their lives as well. All our grannies and granddads did, you know, and
beautifully said.
And it's just so, it's beautiful to kind of see that the past and the present can be one in that way. And definitely she just embodies and represents all of it.
So the cross, Bridget's cross. Mm-hmm. We all did them at school. I had memories and still probably do. Some of us still do them.
Yeah.
But they're such a symbol. They're such a symbol of this time.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be going out and getting my rushes now in the next few days. I'll be sitting in to do it. I love it. I really do love it, you know, and I don't even see it as a religious thing or anything like that. Yeah. I just love making them. And, you know, the story of the dying king, and she picked up the rushes off the ground, that, you know, the fresh rushes that had been laid on the floor to keep it clean. And she picked them up and she made this cross and she was telling him the Bible stories. It's a ritual. And that's so represents as well kind of what we do at this time of year. You know, we're thinking about the Bridget's presence, and for protection, we put it over the door, and it's all this ritual of protection and thinking and, you know, keeping in touch with nature. And it's simple. And I think it's its simplicity that is the real key, that, and it's lovely that we've kept this tradition up.
She's strongly associated with smiths as well.
Yes. Yes, and metalworking.
Metalworking, that's it.
So your swords and your, you know, your daggers and your horseshoes and all these other things, you know, it's the fire that she, you know, you'd be wielding your weapon. And
Bridget's, that's Goddess fire. Bridget.
Yes, that would be Goddess Bridget.
which one is it? Okay, so how do you think we should honour or celebrate her essence today? How best to do that? And this time of regrowth, of returning to spring.
Personally, I think, you know, we've talked about Bridget being the past and the present, but we've been given this opportunity to make her the future as well. And I think we should think very carefully about how we want to remember this woman in a way that's different than what we do with Patrick. So I don't think there's any need for parades or, people want to do it, that's absolutely fine. But I much think that because of her, you know, her relevance to nature and to the arts and to the environment and the land, wouldn't it be a lovely time of year to just look inwards and reflect on the climate crisis, the biodiversity crisis that we're having here in Ireland at the moment? She really gives us a chance to think about things from a spiritual point of view, obviously because of her religious background, things from an artistic point of view, from an environmental point of view, and also how we're going to look after the poor and the needy, as she did in her life as well. So if we can reflect on all of these things and see it as the beginning of this, you know, new spring season, how are we all going to go forward and maybe do a little something to help those causes? You know, well, that's personally how I think anyway, that maybe we should all think of it in that way, you know, that it's a nice time to reflect and to build, I suppose, rather than just have a party or whatever.
Yeah, love that. You know? And then you're going to be flat out making crushed frijoles. And do you put them above your door?
I do. Love and it. I'll sometimes make the ones with three spokes as well. I just think they're so cool. Like,
oh, right, not the four.
Yeah,
very good.
You can make four and you can make three. And there's something about the one with three spokes. What did I see that in recently? I think it was actually in the Banshees of Inisherin. I think there was one over the door and I noticed it had three spokes on it instead of four.
Oh, yeah, fascinating.
And I kind of took note of that and I said, that's kind of cool.
How observant of you. I watched it, but I didn't take that in at all. Well done. Okay, so you're going to be back again in a few months.
Yes.
Next time we are going to be chatting about the fire festival that is Beltane.
Yep.
Can't wait. Shelley, thanks a million.
No problem. Thanks so much, Sheila.
I hope you enjoyed this episode and thank you so much for listening to Ready to Be Real.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.